Hi there, Rachel here. If you're listening to this episode in May of 2024, I have some big news. After selling out during the holiday season, my Flex of Gold journal is available for pre-order right now and will be shipping to your home by the end of June. To celebrate, we're running an amazing pre-order sale for Mother's Day. Purchase the journal before May 13th and you'll get $10 off every journal. This is our best price of the year, even better than Black Friday, so it's the perfect time to stock up for gifts for family and friends. This three-year journal helps mothers to notice, savor, and write down the fleeting golden moments that they experience with their children each day. So go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to reserve your copy, and you'll also see our brand new cover colors, as well as our new cover option, which is a wipeable vegan leather. So again, go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to pre-order your journal, and from now until Mother's Day 2024, they'll be marked down by $10 each. I can't wait for you to experience the magic of this beautiful gratitude journal for mothers. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. Hello, happy Thursday. I'm coming to you today with a little bonus episode, and I hope you enjoy it. I just needed to talk through a few quick thoughts that I've been having on a topic that I've been thinking a lot about lately, and that's overwhelm. As I hope you know, I'm hosting a free masterclass on overcoming overwhelm during the first week of April, and I've been preparing for it the past few weeks, which is probably why an interaction with my kids really stood out to me a few days ago when I was feeling super overwhelmed myself. It was such a simple interaction, but when I jumped on Instagram and recorded a little reel about it, so many moms commented that it was helpful and they shared it to their stories and they saved it. So clearly this struck a chord. And just in case you're not on Instagram, I wanted to share the audio from that reel here so you can hear about my experience too. So here's that audio and then I'll come back and unpack it and talk about it a little. Something that I have not been great at as a mom is teaching my kids how to contribute around the house. And I've been working on it. And yesterday I told my kids, we're having some house guests this weekend. I'm super excited about it, but we all need to come together and pitch in to make sure that our house is ready for them. And my oldest, Noah, really stepped up and helped me a lot. So at the end of the evening, I gave him a hug and I said, thank you so much for helping me. And then I had this thought, I don't want to train him to believe that taking care of this home is my responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. So he wasn't really helping me. He was doing his part. And so as I was hugging him, I changed my verbiage and I just said, thank you for doing your part. And so from now on, instead of saying thank you for helping me to members of my family, I think I'm going to make that small shift and say thank you for doing your part to contribute to our family. Okay, so what do you think? Is this an epiphany for you too? Have you ever thought deeply about the words we use when we talk about our chores and care tasks in our home? I've become more conscious of this after reading books like Fair Play by Eve Rodsky and How to Keep House While Drowning by Casey Davis, and it's been empowering for me to shift the way I view housework, even subconsciously, as it's not completely my responsibility just because I'm the mom. I mean, I would have told you that I didn't believe that this should all fall on me long before I read those books, but the ways that I was talking about housework sort of proved otherwise. We have some deep social conditioning that is hard to unpack that makes us feel guilty when asking for support or responsible for all of the physical and emotional needs of the family, even when it shouldn't be totally on us. In the caption of that reel, I wrote this. When kids do chores, are they helping or are they simply doing their part to take care of the home that they live in? This has been on my mind lately as I work on trying to encourage my kids to contribute more at home. We can be positive and grateful for their contributions without sending the message that they are doing us a big favor. What thoughts or tips do you have on this? I'd love to learn from you. So, in response to that, a lot of really wise women chimed in. And I want to read you some of those responses because the 3 in 30 community is just the smartest group of moms ever. So I'm going to share three of those in just a minute after we take a quick break for this episode's sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by KiwiCo, a monthly subscription box of seriously fun and enriching art and learning projects for kids of all ages. A little bit about how it works. Each month, kids receive a box complete with instructions and all the supplies they need. The projects are engaging, hands-on activities designed to introduce them to exciting science, technology, and art concepts. And there are 9 monthly programs to choose from, so there's options for all age ranges. My 9-year-old daughter Sally had so much fun making her own succulent garden from the Doodle Crate. There was a video included, and I didn't even end up having to help her at all. I love watching her confidence grow as she figures things out on her own, and I love to give her a screen-free option to entertain herself. Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at kiwico.com with promo code 3in30. That's 50% off your first month at kiwico.com, promo code 3in30. This episode is also sponsored by Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. Moms take on a lot, and they deserve good shoes to keep them supported. Whether you're shuttling the kids to extracurriculars, speeding through the grocery store, or prepping for a work deadline, Vionic has the perfect pair of shoes for every occasion. Lately, I'm loving the Uptown Loafer, which comes in 10 beautiful shades of premium suede and leather, or the Willa Slip-On Flat. And don't forget that Vionic offers a 30-day money-back guarantee because shopping online, you can never be totally sure if something's going to fit right. So Vionic says, wear them, love them, or return them for a full refund within 30 days. Use code 3in30 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at www.vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's code 3in30 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. One-time use only, Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. Okay, we're back, and I want to share some of the wise comments that came in with feedback and more ideas from that reel about family members doing their part. First of all, a friend of mine named Chelsea, who has a rather amusing Instagram handle, @chickenflag, gave me a little bit of encouragement when she commented and said this: I think it's not that you weren't good about getting your kids to help before, but that it was so much effort to get little kids to help. My kids are a couple of years older than yours, and chore charts finally started working just 2 years ago. Before that, it was like teaching piano lessons to a toddler. I mean, it can be done, but it's so much extra work, end quote. I'm grateful to Chelsea for the reminder that I'm not too late, and it's okay if I didn't have the stamina to teach my children more about family contributions when they were younger. I think those of you who did do this are incredible, but I'm also grateful to know that it's not too late. And I thought it was interesting that Chelsea used the example of kids starting to take piano lessons when they're young, because I recently had a conversation with my daughter's piano teacher about this exact thing. I contacted her and I was getting Sally signed up, and I said, she's 9 and I know I should have started her in lessons so much younger, but I guess better late than never. And the teacher said, well, not necessarily. In my experience, kids have a hard time making much progress when they're super young, whereas someone Sally's age will likely learn quickly and feel successful sooner. Some young kids burn out on piano before their hand dexterity and their intellect have even really developed and given them a chance to succeed. And I have to say, when she told me that, it made me feel so much better. And for the record, if you started your child in piano young, I don't think you made a big mistake, because most of the stories I've heard of concert pianists, they were like 2 when they started. But it's nice to know that it's not too late for our kids to learn skills that we hope to teach them when they are a little bit older, whether that's piano or working and contributing around the house. Okay, the second comment I'd love to highlight is from Steph McMenn, who is also a personal friend of mine. And she said this: I've been thinking about this lately. I want my kids to know that their contributions to me and my contributions to them help each other live more enriched lives. So I try to say things like, thanks so much for unloading the dishwasher. It allows me to get to bed a little earlier or do something I enjoy doing. Something about, you're not helping, you're just doing your part, fed my exasperated alone feeling, and my kids still had to do their jobs. This way, they still have to do their thing, but I feel a little more grateful for their contributions. Maybe one day they'll think to themselves, or even say aloud, thanks, Mom, for taking time to give me a ride. It allows me to do this thing I love. End quote. And I love that Stephanie was pushing back on me a little in this comment when she said that thinking about them just doing their part actually made her feel more exasperated and alone, and that she's had more luck with a reframe where she emphasizes her gratitude for their contributions. And one thing that's interesting to me as I consider her comment is that I know Steph and I have different personalities, and whereas I tend towards feeling guilty when asking my family to do anything to contribute, she might say that she leans more towards feeling angry when her family doesn't just automatically contribute. In my parenting, I lean more towards permissive and she leans more towards strict, and we've discussed this on many a long walk together. So it makes sense to me that every mom is going to have to adjust her mindset around family contributions based on her natural personality when it comes to parenting and what she uniquely needs to work on. I need to expect a little bit more and not feel like I'm asking a big favor, and maybe a stricter mom needs to ask a little bit less or have a little bit more gratitude for the contributions that are being made. Something to think about. And then the third and final comment I want to feature is from someone I don't know personally, Amy in Athens. And she left a long comment with several great ideas. I'm just going to read an excerpt of that here. She said, quote, love this shift in wording. In our house, a very easy rhythm for me to keep after dinner is what I call helping hands. We all contribute and put the house back together. People can't just walk off and leave the mess. I don't pay them or even track the chores. We all just contribute. I call out what needs to be done. Laundry roundup, fold a load of laundry, run it to the rooms, water plants, rack the shoes, sweep the kitchen. No complainers. We all help, and this has been an easy rhythm for us to stay consistent with. End quote. And I love that this family has come up with a phrase to call this time after dinner so everyone knows what it means and knows that it's time to pitch in. Helping hands is great. And we used to use a phrase, we'd call it family 15 when my kids were younger, where we'd all work together after dinner for 15 minutes to get the kitchen and the living spaces picked up. And sometimes if the kids were lucky, it would even be a 10-minute tidy instead of a family 15. But I have to say, we have gotten away from this rhythm in our home since my kids have gotten older, because it seems like my son is often running off to a church activity, or my daughter needs to hurry to get to bed after a late gymnastics practice, or I need to head up to my office to finish up a bit of work. So we kind of scatter more, and we haven't been good about doing this family 15 time right after dinner. But this mom's comment reminded me that it's time to get back to the old family 15, and I'm so glad she spoke up. I'm also glad that another mom replied to her comment and said, this is awesome, but what happens if someone isn't doing their part? Relatable, am I right? It sounds lovely in theory to have a happy helping hands time after dinner, but real family life is often more complicated and contentious than that. And Amy in Athens responded, and she said this, after helping hands, we all run outside for 10 minutes and play catch, or we play a quick game of sorry or tag before we start showers, homework, etc. This usually encourages them because if it's not done, they miss out. Do they whine over who has harder chores? Yes. I just continued to hold ground with, we all contribute, and some days you may have the harder job, or good thing you won't have to do that job tomorrow now. For consequences in general, they lose tech time or friend time. And if they have poopy attitudes, talk back, or disrespect, it's a warning. But then I give them a chore like clean baseboards for 5 minutes, scrub a toilet, pick up dog poop, which they then think is kind of funny because I joke, stop your poopy attitude or I'll give you a poopy job. End quote. So many good thoughts and insights, and I truly do believe that every mom and every family can approach this topic differently in a way that fits them and their family culture. My main point in sharing this reel and then re-airing it here is to remind you that all of the overwhelm of keeping up with your home does not have to fall on you. It is not your sole responsibility because you are not the sole person who lives in your home and utilizes all of the possessions and space. And this is even true if you are a full-time stay-at-home mom. It still shouldn't be all on you. Work with your family to find a good system where everyone is doing their part, and do your best to adjust your language, your verbiage, to convey gratitude for their contributions without giving them the impression that they are doing you an enormous favor by simply pitching in on something that shouldn't be your sole responsibility in the first place. I'm going to continue working on building systems in our home that will encourage and expect my children to contribute. And as I have breakthroughs, I will share them here because I know this is something that every mom thinks about. So stay tuned for that. And as a reminder, if you are feeling overwhelmed by your life lately, I hope that you will join me for the free masterclass I'm teaching during the first week of April. It's going to be packed with actionable takeaways. I'm going to be there live to teach on Zoom, and I can't wait. Reserve your seat by going to 330podcast.com/masterclass, and I'm so excited to see you there live. Okay, that's all I have for today for our surprise bonus episode. I hope it was helpful for you. I'll see you on Monday for our regularly scheduled episode. And until then, be well, my friends. I am rooting for you.